Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Hello and welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Happy Holiday Monday. This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might be listening in Kamloops at CFBX or in Nova Scotia, Axe Radio Canada, or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, and PowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And before we bring up today's guest, I just want to say thank you and give a shout out if she's listening to the lady who was next to me at the red light. On my way here, I was dancing in the car, and she gave me the thumbs up, and it totally made my day. And I love sharing little moments with people like that, just random strangers. So, yeah, thanks for the thumbs up, lady. I hope you have a wonderful day. Okay, so today we are joined by Stephen Sadler. He is an author, a speaker, a Kundalini master, a Siddha yogi, and founder of the Self-Awareness Institute. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Oh, this is exciting.
Yay! I'm so glad you're here. I loved your email about sparkling together. I love sparkles.
And I loved what you said in the beginning as I was listening to your introduction. You talked about the universal energy, and that's exactly what I wanted to talk about today.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, before we jump into that, and you're probably going to talk about it in your answer, but you're coming to Vancouver in June, so what are you going to be doing here?
Well, we'll be doing a number of things. I'll be at the Center for Peace on Friday, June 7th. That's on 16th Street. And I'm just going to be introducing people to Shaktipat, a little bit of what we're going to be doing in your program, transferring energy, helping people connect with what we might think of as spirit in our body and learning to shift the frequency of energy in our body. And then on Saturday, June 8th, at the Center for Peace, again, I'm going to be doing an initiation from 9:30 a.m. till noon. So that's more of a workshop where we can dive into what we got a taste of the night before. And then that evening, I'll be at the Ayurvedic Conference at the UBC Asia Center from 6 p.m. on, speaking on the endocrinology of enlightenment. Basically, I'll be going in and explaining how the endocrine glands correlate to different chakras and how the psychophysiology of the body works to the different Ayurvedic physicians that are gathered. And then on Sunday, I'll be at the Banyan Books at 4th Street at 11:30 a.m., signing books on my new book, The Theory of Existence and the Science of Consciousness and Self-Realization.
Cool. Well, that's a lot of stuff for people to remember. So is it on a website somewhere?
Yeah, you can go to selfawareness.com, or I've got a teacher, one of our teachers up in Vancouver's name Weber, Garner Weber, and he's at 604-992-7766.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. So, Stephen, now you are a Kundalini master and a Siddha yogi. What's the difference?
Well, they're related, actually. The word Siddha is a term that's used by many different sects in India, including the Jains. The Tamil Siddhas are the lineage that I've practice through, although I should mention in writing my book, Looking for God, I studied, you know, dozens of forms of meditation and sat with dozens of gurus and to practice their forms of meditation for years before I even learned about Shaktipat and Siddha. But the difference is really the lineage. Different people, like you'll say, there's a lineage called Kriya, there's a lineage called Kundalini, which I'm also a part of. But when you get down to it, all the yogas really have a common thread. It's all about connecting with something. It's beyond the mind and beyond the senses. And for that, you typically need a guru. And there's typically this universal energy that we all end up tapping into. And so Kundalini yoga and Siddha yoga are both really oriented towards tapping into the life force energy that's moving in our body and throughout everything in existence until we merge with that.
Awesome. Now, you had wanted to do some energy work, and so if anyone wants to call in, 604-822-2487, you can do that. But on the phone before we started the show, you said that people can just listen. So do you want to use me as a guinea pig, and we can do something fun and interesting?
Sure. What I think makes this practice, because I assume people that come to your radio show already know how to meditate, they've kind of been there, done that. They've already heard Eckhart Tolle and, you know, Deepak Chopra, and they've been around the block a few times, and so that's good. What I'd like to share is, how do you move from one calibrated level of consciousness to another? Are you familiar with Dr. David Hawkins? Power versus force?
He's the physicist that's in a wheelchair, right?
Well, no, that's Stephen Hawking.
Oh, okay.
David Hawkins was the psychologist that did the study on the different stages or levels of consciousness people operate at. You know, some people have a very dense consciousness. Maybe they're very angry, they cuss, they get, you know, they're just, you can feel kind of a dense energy around some people. And maybe others that have done more work on themselves, they're more positive energy, more love and light. You can just feel it when you're around them, right?
Mm-hmm.
We kind of intuitively know that people operate at different levels, but what he did is actually begin to quantify it. And so there's a worldwide movement of people testing different levels of consciousness, testing different teachings, testing different techniques, testing any way that consciousness is expressed. And so we just use that as one of the tools to say, well, to whatever level I've evolved myself or developed myself or become conscious or enlightened, and of course there is a place that's beyond any differentiation, but in our path to this enlightenment, there are progressions. And so what I like to do is help give people a way to both measure and move into those higher states. We kind of attune people to higher levels of consciousness that they may not have ever experienced before. So we can do that even on the phone. Most of the work I do is teleconference. Most of our students have never met me in person. They connect energetically during meditation or over the phone, such as we're doing now. So want me to just guide you through it right now?
Okay, sure.
We give it a shot. So the first step is, I think the first step is always to recognize that what we're seeking is already within us. We're not trying to go out there to find something that we're missing. The point is to realize that which causes life within us is us, and it's an expression of what we are. And so rather than talking about it, what we want to do is feel it. We want to go in. So I want to invite you to take a deep breath, and of course, if you're driving, you need to stay lucid. If you're not, you can assume a meditation posture, and just you need to sit erect in this case, because your spine acts as an antenna that will pick up different frequencies. And as you breathe in, go ahead and close your eyes, and let's just imagine that we're going to step into a jacuzzi or a hot tub or a warm body of water, and because that image helps us to relax. And we can just disrobe from our mind in all its fears or resistance. We can unbutton all those things that we've been thinking about and just drop kind of ourself and step into the jacuzzi as spirit, kind of letting go of our day, letting go of ourself, and just exploring the very life force energy within us that is us. So I invite you to breathe in and open your heart, for really it's an act of grace. I don't do anything. It's really, there's a power greater than all of us creating life. Whatever it is that made the big bang boom, I'm going to call that God. I'd like to invite everyone to just breathe in and recognize that higher power or beingness in the universe. I like to start with a prayer. I say, Lord, help me to be a pure vehicle for your love and light and wisdom. And as we breathe out, close your eyes. Go ahead and just maybe even make the sound, ah, and feel yourself relaxing. Let your shoulders drop, let your neck relax, let your eyes roll up. And one little technique that can kind of help you get plugged in is simply to gaze into the point between your eyebrows. And a lot of people have heard of this third eye or chakra point. The endocrinology of it is, when you gaze into your third eye, you activate your pituitary gland. It releases peptides, and that invokes a relaxation response, like a natural biofeedback mechanism. And it's kind of like turning a light switch on. If you go into a room and it's dark, you have to flick the switch up, and a light goes on. In the same way, if you roll your eyes up, it's like flicking the switch on. So roll your eyes up and just gaze at your third eye, but without too much eye strain. If you find there's too much effort, your eyes flutter, twitch, or get sore, just drop your gaze. And this kind of gets us plugged in. So we're all receiving, and we're all transmitting. We're all connected. The same thing that makes my heartbeat makes your heartbeat, and the same thing that brought me to be on this call brought you and all the listeners to be on the call whenever they happen to hear it. And so there's something guiding all of us, and the more we tap into that inner light, the more clarity, the more insight, the more happiness, the more peace. We all know the answers lie within us. Well, this is how we get there. So when you roll up your eyes and you gaze into the point between the eyebrows, you begin to feel an energy in your body. So as you're sitting in this jacuzzi, as we're imagining we're sitting in the jacuzzi with our eyes closed, looking at our third eye, we'll begin to feel this light floaty sensation, like the bubbles that come up in a jacuzzi. That's why I like that analogy. It's almost like you're floating. You kind of lose a sense of being in your body as the energy gets stronger. And now as I'm speaking to you, we're going to start conducting energy, what the yogis call Shaktipat. And it's just a way to tune into higher state. So as you breathe in, just feel this energy in your body. There's something making your heart beat. So we just check in with that. There's energy flowing in our nervous system. We can picture the nerves bundled inside our spine or sticking out like the roots of a tree, going out to all the extremities of our body and all our vital organs. So just imagine the energy in your nervous system. And as you breathe in, maybe make a fist and curl your toes. And you just send energy through your nervous system, like an electrical impulse to make that fist or curl your toes. And now release the fist, release the toe. And there was another response. So it's just a way that the body can identify, yes, there is energy. There's an electrical circuit. There's energy moving through my nervous system. Feel that. Breathe in and feel the energy in your nervous system. At a more subtle level, there's energy flowing in your chi. So we've all seen acupuncture charts and recognize there's meridians that can now be tested with instruments. We now know there's areas of low resistance and high conductivity flowing through our body. So breathe in and just imagine it. So just get in touch with these subtle energies in your body. And then third, there's an electromagnetic field all around your body. People these days call it an aura. But the idea is there's a positive charge at the top of your head and there's a negative charge at the bottom of your tailbone. And you're conducting a field. And I just want you to picture this, your body enveloped in a cocoon of golden white light to kind of help you tune into this subtle energy and feeling. So first you feel it in your own body. Feel it in your chi. Feel it in the electromagnetic fields of your body. And the next step is for you and I to work together. So you can always just get connected because you always are connected. But if you let me work with you, I might be able to, like a trainer that will move more energy through you, we can start building up the energy field, and we can also raise the calibrated level of consciousness so that you can actually begin to experience going into higher states of consciousness. So to do that, I invite you to breathe in and bring your hands up, and anyone else listening can do this at the same time, by the way, if they want. But as you breathe in, put your hands up and spread your palms wide, make a grip, like maybe you're holding a volleyball in each hand, and then turn your palms up as if they were little satellite dishes that would pick up a satellite signal. And I'm going to start sending a signal to you, and you're going to feel a buzzing in your hand. Now, first, you'll feel blood rushing out, of course. And second, there's some ambient heat that your body generates. And when you stimulate your third eye, you're moving what the yogis call kundalini, so there'll be maybe a flush of energy beginning to flow up your body, creating some heat. But beyond the heat, there's more of a subtle tingling, like a magnetic field is what I want you to tune into. Maybe if you make some circles with your hand, pat the air in front of you. So you're still gazing at the point between your eyebrows, but now we're tuning into a sensation that's being transmitted to you, and you're receiving it with your hands. Picture your hands enveloped in a cocoon of golden white light. And then as you breathe in, you can simply draw that light down your arms and into your heart. Feel it opening up. For it's through grace. It can't be imposed on you. You have to be willing and open to receive. And then as you breathe out, just feel the energy passing through your body because you're not only the receiver, you're a transmitter. So feel your energy field beginning to expand out around your body, and maybe breathe in again and absorb a little more. So you're expanding your capacity to receive. and there should be some energy filling up in your body. And then as you breathe out, you pass it out again. And just maybe imagine that energy field expanding out farther, 3 feet around you. And you can bring your hands down then. So the hands kind of help us tune in because we're used to feeling things with our hands. But just the fact you're sitting there listening, your spine's an antenna and it's going to start vibrating. You may actually begin to feel a buzzing in your head or a tingling at the very top of your head as your crown chakra begins to get activated. There'll be what we call dendrite branching. The little nerve fibers between each neuron on your brain get stimulated, which develops a sixth sense. We're actually developing the sixth sense. The sense of who you are and why you were born develops through this practice. So breathe in. Maria, can you feel this energy yet? Is something beginning to fill up a little bit?
I can feel it a little bit.
Let's test it.
Okay.
We can play with it. Just imagine you've got something, a little ball, maybe something a little bigger than a grapefruit, between your hands. Just hold this ball between your hands and waver your hands together and apart without touching the skin and see if you can feel that little current. It might feel like when you're playing with magnets.
Yeah, I can feel that.
Cushion of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what we've done is we've kind of initiated the energy. There's already energy there or you wouldn't be alive. And now we're starting to build the current up. So what we can do that's really exciting is we can do a before and after. Because you never want to jolt the energy in your body. You want it to grow and develop in a way that's natural, and your body will tell you how much energy you can take, as an example. So there's nothing you have to worry about. But now we've kind of acclimated to this one level or felt some vibration. If we go back now and absorb a little bit more, we should be able to feel a different intensity or level of connection. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So much of what we're doing is passing energy and moving people up. So when we're in a retreat, like we'll be retreating in July, and you can actually see the people meditating, you can actually see the energy fields or the light growing stronger around the heads of the people sitting there. It becomes something visible, even to people that have never seen things like this before. So let's try it again. Let's bring our hands in a new position now, as if you're holding a little baby in the jacuzzi. Your palms are facing upward. And this is kind of a gesture of receiving. And the next step is really one you kind of have to go within for. And it's really asking the divine to step into your life. But by whatever name you call your creator, it's always an act. I can't do it. I can do nothing. I'm just serving as a helper here, kind of. It's when we really open our heart to receive the grace or receive God in our life. And I would argue, regardless of our religion or faith or belief, just that act of opening the heart allows spirit to enter in. So I'd like to invite you and all the listeners to just breathe in and say, I'm open to receive. Lord, step into my life. Show me. Show me what I need to see, how I can serve.
I got to say, when you say Lord, I feel creepy.
I know people freak out on that. I'm not doing a Jesus thing on anybody. I love Jesus, but the Lord is just recognizing a higher power.
Okay.
But, you know, that's a good point, because the reason most people don't enlighten is their own egoic sense of self that is not willing to recognize that there is a higher power. I think that's one of the biggest reasons people don't enlighten, especially in America, is their sense of what they know or have or got is so great. They have no bhakti. They have no real devotion. Their egoic sense is shielding them from knowing their true self, which is transcendent to any sense of self we might have. But anyway, let's try this without using the word Lord, because
okay.
I don't care. That's just a word to me. We just say, you know, the word I like is Yah.
Mm.
We use Yah because we don't usually use Yah, but it's actually one of the early names for God, as in Yahweh. But whatever name we call our creator, let's just breathe in and say, you know, whatever there is to tap into, the universal intelligence, let me feel it. Let me know it. So it's when you get excited about it, you say, yes, 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 I want to experience this. So just breathe in and say, yes. And then bring your hands up and let me share with you what I've found. I chased all over the world, sitting at the feet of dozens of masters, sitting in caves meditating for hours a day. I sat in tapas in India 23 hours a day, for weeks at a time, nonstop, to find this, and now I found it. I just want to share it with everyone because there is something to find that's absolutely amazing. So breathe in and open your heart and let it in. Feel it in your hands. Draw it in. It's called Shakti. It's spirit. We're all connected with it. So the stronger your connection with spirit, the more filled with spirit you are. And then that spirit shines through what you think and say and do. So breathe in and open your heart. Say, I'm open to receive. And see if you can feel that energy field again in your palms. So the energy will start getting stronger as your hands are opened up and kind of like
tingle.
Drawing in the energy.
I feel tingles in my hands.
That's good.
Yeah.
So now let's try another experiment. See, what we did is we just upped the gradient maybe 1%, you know, not a big jump, but a little bit. But now if you turn your hands again so the palms face each other, but move your hands so they're shoulder-width apart, maybe this, so now that ball is the size of a beach ball, maybe, instead of a grapefruit. And your right hand's on the right side, your left's on the left, so there's maybe 2 or 3 feet between your palms. Slowly start to squeeze your hands together and apart, just waving your hands a few inches, and you should notice that the ball is bigger between your hands. What just happened? You know, and if you can go into a room that's not without too much lighting, fluorescent lights tend to get really strong, you might actually see the corona in your hands or around your head after this program, because you'll be conducting a lot of energy. It'll make it easier for you to see it and feel it like we are now. So this is just kind of a little demonstration that we can do in just a few minutes to show, look at the leap in energy field that occurs in minutes of conducting spirit energy. And then when you've done it again and again, and I've, you know, ostensibly I've trained you to help, kind of like a yoga teacher helps you move deeper into a pose. What I want to do is help people move deeper into their connection or deeper into their meditation, so that light just gets brighter and brighter and brighter until it just fills you up and you're high as a kite. You get high on this, and people don't... I feel so sorry for people that are just doing a meditation technique that kind of quiets their mind. I did that for years, and I just want to tell everyone out there, if you're not blissed out, you've got so much to look forward to. There's such a better world waiting for people that just let it come.
All right, Stephen. Well, it is time for a break, and then I have some questions about the demonstration you just did. So we'll be back in just a moment. Right now, we are speaking with Stephen Sadler, and you can find him at selfawareness.com. He's coming to Vancouver in June doing some workshops. He's also going to be at Banyan Books. So selfawareness.com is where you can find more information about him, and we will be back with more synchronicity in a moment. I am your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks for being with me today.
Tuesday, May 28th at Fortune Sound Club, it's the Sweatshop Union Infinite LP release party and live performance with guests Def 3, Ray Black, and Pigeonhole. Sweatshop Union are heavyweights of Northwestern hip-hop and have earned a reputation as the hardest-working collective in the region. Tickets on sale at High Life, Zulu, Dipped, Red Cat, and Beat Street. Sponsored by 101.9 FM, CITR.
I faced it. I have Alzheimer's disease.
My diagnosis has let me get on with my life my way.
The more we learned about my grandfather's dementia, the more we could face the future and make plans.
My husband, Tom, and I spoke to our doctor right away.
I have Alzheimer's, but it doesn't have me.
I faced it. So can you.
For more information about early diagnosis, visit alzheimer.ca.
This week on the Arts Report, film, theater, dance, books, visual art, and more. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m., the Arts Reporters explore what's fun, fascinating, campy, or critical in the Vancouver art scene. You can find bonus content on our Mixcloud, Facebook, and Twitter. Got an idea for a review, interview, or original production? Email arts@citr.ca. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. or anytime on citr.ca.
ABC Short Filmmakers. This 4th annual Vancouver Short Film Festival is now accepting entries until August 1st, so get those cameras rolling. Student recent grads and professional filmmakers can submit films and videos, and remember, the shorter the better. Last year, 29 short films were screened, and over $15,000 in prize we were awarded to busy filmmakers. For entering rules and submit online, please visit the Vancouver Short Film Festival at vsff.com.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Happy Holiday Monday. And today we are speaking with Stephen Sadler. You can find him at selfawareness.com. He is an author, a speaker, a Siddha yogi, Kundalini master, and founder of the Self-Awareness Institute. Welcome back to the show, Stephen.
It's fun.
Yay! So I have some questions. And again, selfawareness.com, you have lots of, you have a radio show podcast thing going on. You have lots of free information. Yep. It sounds like there are some courses that you charge for, obviously, but it sounds like you're trying to really get that energy out into the world. And it's not about making profit.
No, I used to be an investment banker and I made some money. I put it away. Now all my work is to try and help people. So we use the funds that we gain to do programs to reach out to more people. And the meditation is always for free. If we charge, it's for a product or because we need to rent a facility and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, great. Oh, I really love that. And now you mentioned on your website, and you also mentioned on the show about being blissed out.
Yeah.
A lot of spiritual teachers kind of try and tell people that the purpose is not to get blissed out.
That's true.
So what's your opinion on that?
Well, the Vedas actually speak to this very directly. In the Mundaka Upanishad, as an example, there are different levels of teaching. And what the gurus are saying about there being a state beyond all phenomena, period, is absolutely true. There's a non-differentiated state that cannot even be explained. It has no sensation. There is nothing to experience. However, before you get to that state, you enter through a period of extreme bliss, or you can. Most of the teachers that are saying forget about the bliss have never actually enlightened themselves, is my experience. And those teachers that, at least from my experience and being with lots of different gurus, those that are having the highest vibration have a very strong energy that does put you into an ecstatic state. When you get closer to God, there is a bliss. And I would say to anybody that's arguing against bliss, why? I mean, that's just a better way to live. As long as you're in a body, why not be in bliss until you make that final pop into Satchitananda? But the bliss is your way of saying, hey, I'm getting closer. Most people are just trying to beat their brain into submission. They're following their breath in and out, repeating a mantra over and over, and all they're really doing is dulling their brain. I've never known anybody to enlighten through those techniques, but I see lots of people just connecting to Source and moving beyond body-mind consciousness. But in that process, you may have, say, an astral experience. You may have bliss experiences. And that has been kind of a guidepost on the way to full enlightenment. That's how I would describe it.
Okay, I really like listening to you talk because you don't sound flaky about it. Because sometimes people get all, I don't know, I just wanted to make that comment.
Well, there's a science to it. What I loved about my guru was Vithathiri Maharishi, and he was an Ayurvedic physician. And he always talked about the science behind these things. He would explain why you feel bliss and what the bliss is. See, if you're experiencing bliss, there's still an experiencer. And eventually when the full enlightenment comes, there is no more experiencer. That was an illusion too. But the beautiful thing is it's through the bliss you get into that state. So what I'm trying to offer people is, hey, look, if nothing else, if you're going to sit for an hour every day, why not get high as a kite? Because you're going to get bored sitting and just following your breath in and out for hours a day. I mean, I know you can go into deeper states from that. I have experienced that. But there's more. There's so much more that most people don't know exists and is waiting for them.
Okay, cool. Because the thing is, I don't actually sit and meditate very often. I'm going to use a judgmental word. I don't do it as often as I feel like I should. And so do you find that people who are really not practicing meditation because, I don't know, they're either they find it boring or they're lazy or they're too... My problem is I've got so many things going on that distract me.
Hey, if you could think of the most beautiful man, maybe it's your husband, I don't know your personal life.
But I'm single.
Think of the most beautiful person you can coming over to massage you and make love to you every morning for an hour. Now, would you be able to make time for that?
Yes.
Well, that's what your relationship with God can be like. When you sit and you would rather sit and connect with God than make love to the most beautiful or lovable person you can think of. And if you ask my students that have been practicing this for any length of time, they'll tell you that. It gets to a place of profundity. That's why I'm so excited to tell people, meditation shouldn't be boring. Meditation isn't something, it's like falling in love with God. It's like spooning with your lover. Your body-mind becomes so merged with the spirit. And at this point, there's not a differentiation between you and your creator. It's like when you're passionately in love or practicing tantra, you and your lover become one. Your meditation becomes a similar experience. There is the rush, and there is that sense of connection, similar to an orgasm. And then what's even better, though, is the after part, isn't it? After you've made that connection, you move into a place, you know, we kind of joke about wanting to have a cigarette afterwards. Of course, nobody listening would probably want a cigarette. But the idea is you get to that place of, you've just now entered into a whole new world, and that's what the meditation can be like.
It's interesting, Stephen, because as you were starting the meditation that we went through together, I actually had somewhat of an image of a man massaging my shoulders. Like, I felt that, yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it was good.
Well, the reason we like to meditate, I mean, there's all kinds of benefits to all kinds of meditation. All meditation seems good to me. I've never met or seen a kind of meditation practice that wasn't helping people. But I've never seen anything like this where people not only go into bliss, their whole life changes. I mean, if you live, you can learn to live in this state of illumination. There is a spiritual world right here in the physical world that people just have. It's kind of like everyone's been listening to AM, and there's a whole FM spectrum that people didn't even know exist. So what we're doing is we're tuning them into FM, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, there's spirit everywhere, in everything, everywhere, all the time. And it's like you're connected. You just feel God's presence in everything, everywhere, and it gets you high. So let the other teachers say you don't need that high. I say get high.
Awesome.
Go ahead.
Okay, Stephen, I have more questions about the meditation.
Good.
So you had said to look up and look with your eyes at your third eye area, but you said that if it was uncomfortable, not to do it. And so I did feel when I looked up that my eyes fluttered and it kind of felt straining.
Right.
So should I still be looking up, just maybe not as far?
Yeah, you just drop your gaze. You know, in fact, sometimes when people are looking up, they may think they're looking higher on their forehead or at the bridge of their nose. And really, it doesn't matter so much where the eyes are, so much as they've moved up and they're kind of locked in position, so the eyes aren't moving in the eye sockets. And that's a way of calming your mind in and of itself. But as you roll the eyes up, it's more important that we're trying to feel the sensation between the eyebrows. And what will happen is you may actually hear, it may feel like you're hearing my voice at your third eye. Because what will happen is that what they call chakra, this energy vortex, will begin to throb or move or be activated. Where you put your attention, energy follows. So literally the pituitary and pineal gland work together and create a charge that excites a part of your nervous system up in your brain that activates a latent sense of higher awareness, a faculty of higher awareness that isn't fully developed in most human beings yet. But once you get your bead, kind of like once your eyes are rolled up, you don't have to think about it anymore. And what happens is the energy in your body takes over. All you really want to do is enjoy the feeling, just like as if you might enjoy sitting in a jacuzzi. That's why I use that analogy. you don't have to worry about your third eye or if you're doing it right or if your mind is wandering. Because if you just keep coming back to the feeling, it feels so good, your mind doesn't want to go anywhere else. It would rather be in the feeling than thinking about something else from your day. And so you're not fighting your mind to stay focused on something because your mind wants to be in the bliss. Does that make sense?
It does, because I could feel it, and I have lots of thoughts. So, and the beating my brain into submission, I really resonated with that. I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I try to do all the time, all day long. But I'm curious. I really enjoyed the feeling, and it did help me have fewer thoughts. But I have this habit. I don't know if it's self-consciousness or what, but I kind of like these sort of thoughts and feelings of, I'm not good at this. What if I don't feel anything?
Yeah,
maybe
I'm
not feeling enough.
Everybody goes through that, and none of it matters. That's the point I'd want to leave you with. Your mind will resist or question or whatever. But here's the upshot on it. All anyone would have to do, just Google Enlightenment Radio. I've got meditations 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's free. And all you got to do is plug me in and listen for an hour. So there's no work on your part. It's like, okay, I'll just listen to Steve go blah, blah, blah. And what happens is, as you're listening, you're going to start feeling the energy. And pretty soon, you probably won't even hear my voice anymore, which is fine. I don't care if you're hearing my voice or not. Because the point is that you're connecting energetically, and all of a sudden, you're being taken into these higher states, and you didn't have to try to do it. You weren't doing it on your own effort. You weren't trying to beat your mind into submission. You could just lay back and go, whoo, that was fun. I got a brain massage from Steve. And all of a sudden, I stopped thinking and enjoyed the bliss. And after you do that again and again and again and again, those higher states become more familiar to you. And you feel them even when you're not meditating. You're kind of connected at that higher gradient.
Okay, just to clarify, though, you've got to only be listening to that, right? No multitasking?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because well, what's the point? The whole point is stop doing. Stop your you. Let go of your you and just, it's like if you're getting a massage. Hopefully you're not text messaging at the same time, right? Because what's the point of getting a massage if you're busy thinking and doing things you think you need to do? In the same way, when you're getting a jacuzzi or you're getting a massage, you don't want to be doing other things. That's your you time. And more importantly, it's your time with your creator. I look at it as a date with the divine. And so I'm not going to skip that date, no matter what. That's the most important thing I do in a day, is make that connection.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Stephen, I'm curious now, the energy, how long does it last?
Well, it's always flowing, and so it lasts as long as you're connecting. Now, what happens is most people, their brain starts going doot-de-doot-de-do off in other directions, and they start losing their connection. So you need to be trained in it like anything else. If you're going to learn to dance or use algebraic equations or yoga, whatever you do, you usually need to work with somebody that can kind of help you. And that's why I offer these different trainings. I'll be doing a 12-week self-realization course next month. I'll be doing a program. Matter of fact, I'd like to comp you to the initiation if you want to come on Saturday morning.
Woohoo!
And you can get the formal training. It's on me.
Cool. Is that me or everyone listening?
Well, I was thinking you.
Okay.
And the reason I don't want to comp everyone, I don't know if that'd be fair to the other people that are paying. And we've got to pay for the facility. You know,
no, I appreciate that.
I can't pay for it. See, I'm coming up here out of my own money. This is, you know, the money that Cy makes from our programs then can pay for my airfare and lodging to come up to, say, Vancouver. But this is how I try and give back to God, is by showing people what I got from. I didn't get a chance to tell you, but when I was 16 years old, I climbed the top of a mountain in California. The Palisades Glacier, it's called, 14,000 feet. I sat meditating and praying for days, beseeching God to reveal himself to me and show me my purpose in life. And I got an inspiration. God, if I can use that word, spoke to me. And I came down the mountain with this certitude to study every religion and spiritual path in existence. And I did. I spent 20 years and wrote a book on all the religions, all the denominations, all the gurus and babas and bhagwans, all the major ones. I mean, there's one in every city in India. And I wrote a book about it. It became a bestseller, and that's kind of what got me on my path here, is looking at all the different paths. But here's the upshot. before we leave today. It's like, look, to the degree you're open to receive, you will receive. And to the degree you connect, you'll be connected. The more connected you are, the happier you are. The more clarity, the more insight. The more you're guided, the more fulfilled you are. So we have everything to gain by connecting with our own spirit and really understanding what our spirit is, what we are. Most people don't know who they are, and that's why they're not really happy or fulfilled. To the degree you really find yourself, to the degree you develop what I call self-awareness, you really do find more happiness and peace. So I'd love to show you.
Cool. Ooh, I'm super excited. Okay, so what are those dates again?
The 7th, Friday.
June 7th?
That's at 7, from 7 to 9, I'll be at the Center for Peace on 16th Avenue. And then we're going to do a Shakyapat initiation on Saturday morning, 9:30 to noon, at the same Center for Peace. So we're giving people a chance to come in and just feel it out and listen to me and see if they connect. And then those that want to get a training, it's just $25 at the door. And then that evening I'll be speaking at the International, it's a conference on Ayurveda, the Indian form of medicine. And that's at the Asia Center, UBC Asia Center. And then finally I'll be at Banyan Books on Sunday morning, just signing books and giving a talk, maybe doing a meditation if it's convenient. And can I give out the phone number again, too? Because we've got a great guy. We're starting a meditation class up in Vancouver, and Garner's going to head that up. So you can just call 604-992-7766 to learn more. He's your contact in Canada.
Cool. And you can always email me, spiritualshow@gmail.com, because Garner's the one who got us in touch. So
isn't he a great guy?
Yeah. I haven't met him yet, so
oh.
I'm sure I will.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize he was in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Now I know.
Yeah.
Hello, Garner. He's probably listening right now.
Yeah. Hi, Garner.
Hi. Okay, cool. So June 7th, 8th, and 9th, it sounds like you're going to be here. And your website, again, is selfawareness.com. And then you have the radio show, which is Enlightenment Radio. And that's where, so do you do every week an hour-long meditation?
It's all my talks and meditations that have been uploaded. So they're just playing 24 hours a day. They change every hour. There's a new talk or meditation.
Hmm.
And so I'm just always on, and it's free. Anybody with internet access can be guided in meditation at any time.
Cool. Can you download it on iTunes?
You bet. I've got dozens of free iTunes you can download or go to my website. I've got all kinds of digital courses, too. I didn't want this to be a commercial.
No, it's fine.
But I've got a set called Online Courses. And I've got dozens of them. I've got a whole lecture series on all the chapters of the Bible, old and new. I do talks on quantum physics and, you know, many different areas that might be of interest.
Cool. Well, maybe we can have you back on the show to talk about quantum physics as well. That's always interesting.
I'd love it. Yeah, my new book is called The Theory of Existence, and I go in and explain, you know, what was there before the Big Bang boomed and before any quark or hadron or gluon manifest what's there providing for it to appear. No one's really addressed that. So my book is going into an area of science that has not been looked at very well.
And do you know where Garner's going to be doing this meditation group?
No, we're actually looking for places. So maybe you know a place. I think the idea is he wants to get a little meditation group going so people can practice maybe every week, or if they need some counseling, he's been trained to do some of the techniques that we use to stay conscious. If you're going unconscious, how do you stay conscious? That kind of thing.
Cool.
I just need a coach.
All right. Well, I will get in touch with him. And if anyone listening knows of a good space, you can email me spiritualshow@gmail.com and I can forward it to Garner as well. Cool. I'm excited. So the meditation is going to be like this energy life force meditation, the same
exactly.
thing we went through?
And we'll have time. You know, in a radio show, you have to keep it fast-paced. You can't have long areas of nothing being said, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're in a room together, and we can put our hands up and get the energy, then we'll sit in silence for a while, and you'll feel the energy just really start to get strong. But you can only do so much over a radio show. But I think everyone got enough that maybe they had a taste, at least a little taste.
I did, for sure. I thought that was a lot of fun. And I want to ask you, because we have a few minutes left in the show.
Sure.
You know, you had mentioned Lord and whatnot, and you do talk about Christ enlightened.
Yes.
So what, I mean, it doesn't sound like you're coming so much from a religious standpoint. Can you give us some clarity on that?
Sure. You know, I was raised, my grandparents were Baptists. So I grew up with a Christian concept, and I still love the one God, and I love Jesus. Jesus became kind of my first guru, but I was very off-put by most church theology, to tell you the truth. It seemed like they didn't have all their facts. They hadn't really done the research. They were just memorizing certain sections of the Bible and quoting them and not understanding what they mean even sometimes. So, you know, I went to over 200 sects of Christianity to study them and to write about them. And what I learned is most Christians really don't understand the teachings very well. I went back to the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Gnostic writings, the writings of the first bishops. They're called the Church Fathers or Apostolic Fathers. And I read all the letters. I spent years and years reading virtually everything that was written in the first 300 years of Christian history. And I got a whole new hit or perspective on what Jesus was teaching. And guess what? He's teaching a path to enlightenment, and most people don't even understand. The kingdom of heaven lies within, as an example. We've all heard this phrase. There's an explanation for what that means. There's a state where you realize the presence of God within yourself, and that's how he was leading people. That book, by the way, is being made into a motion picture. Do you have time for a quick story?
Sure.
We'll talk about the power of manifestation. So I'd written this book, Christ Enlightened, The Lost Teachings of Jesus Unveiled, and thank God it's been doing very well. And I thought, you know, this would make a great movie. You know, go back to the first century and think about, well, what would it be like Jesus living with his family, working with his dad, maybe helping out as a carpenter apprentice, or later studying? How did he learn about so many of these things? You know, again, this is a story, too, understand. But what happened is, within a week, I was at a seminar, and this woman comes up to me, and she'd already had a vision of me. Showed up, and she put it in a vision board, interestingly enough. And so when I first met her, she came up to me with her smartphone and says, "Who does this look like?" And I said, "Well, it kind of looks like me." And she said, "I had a vision of you. And so when I found this picture, I put it on my vision board knowing that I was going to meet you." And then she immediately looks down and sees my book and says, "What's this about?" And I tell her it's about first century Christianity and about the lost teachings. And she goes, "That would make a great movie." I said, "I was just picturing that." She goes, "Well, guess what? I produced iRobot, Blood Diamond with Leonardo DiCaprio. I produced the movie 300. I produced, you know," she just went on, "Die Hard 3, X-Men 2. And she goes, "I want to make a movie." And so in 3 weeks, I just went down, and it's like a screenplay got written. And I've never written a screenplay in my life. And she looked at it and said, "This is perfect." So imagine never writing a screenplay and getting a screenplay that's acceptable. And then just weeks ago, she presented it to the fund, and we went all the way up to the fund and just got the funding for it.
That
is how
so
spirit
cool.
works. See, it's effortless when you connect. I'm sorry.
Wow. But okay, so my first thought is, okay, with spirit works that way, and I totally agree. And then also, you've been doing this since you were 16 years old.
Yeah.
So it's not like if we start meditating tomorrow...
Well, there is a difference. You're true. You know, that's why I use the title of master, because my teacher used that title and gave it to me, meaning this is a guy that really knows how to do this now, and he can teach you. That's all that means. I'm not trying to be somebody better than anyone else. But that's why you need a teacher, too. The teacher can show you or accelerate your learning so it's not so difficult. So, yes, I've been doing it for years, but you can experience it in minutes. You can start to have the benefit right away.
Cool. I'm just looking for something to play for the end of the show. I'm listening and I'm multitasking because I'm producing the show. But I noticed, I found on YouTube, there's a guy here, Academy of Influence on YouTube, and he does a meditation testimony.
Yeah, Matt Ferry.
Is that something that would be good to end the show with?
No. Well, no, I don't think so, because he actually talked about himself quite a bit.
Oh, okay.
Matt's a great guy. He's now out teaching this too. I trained him, and now he uses it in his own coaching. He's a very successful coach.
Cool.
Matter of fact, there are dozens and dozens of people teaching, and you probably won't know that they studied with me, because a lot of people in all these New Age exhibits and radio shows, they were actually students of mine.
Hmm.
And he's an example.
Very interesting. All right, Stephen. Well, we have a few minutes left in the show, 10 minutes to be exact, before Parts Unknown comes up with Chris Arific here on CITR. So I'm just wondering where you would like to take the next few minutes.
Well, I'd like to invite everybody listening, including you and I, to reinforce this intention and saying, you know what? When we look out into the universe, we see there's an order that arises out of chaos. We can see in the ecology, in the way that nature exists, that there is a way it's being guided. For me, evolution is a sign of this innate intelligence guiding life to another level. And so I'd like to invite everyone to look within themselves and say, well, what have I learned this year? How am I being guided? And what's my next step? What can I do to further evolve myself? And am I really committed to full enlightenment? See, what's happened today is we've got a tremendous amount of people that have what I'd call awakened. They've realize there's something to be realized. They know they're more than a body-mind. They understand the word consciousness. They're trying to develop themselves. Perhaps they're meditating or doing yoga, but they're still not in the bliss. They haven't fully enlightened. So I want to reach out to everybody listening and say, look, is that your goal? Is that a vision or an intention? And if it is, are you really committed and doing everything you can to attain that goal or to realize this truth? Realize the self, and if you'd like to help, I'd like to help. Because the difference is made is when you really commit. And most people just kind of, they find a little comfort zone in their spirituality, like, I already know. Well, you don't already know if you're not in bliss. You haven't gotten there yet. So I just want to invite everyone to take that next step. It's so worth it.
Thank you. Well, I love that you mentioned that you don't know, because even, I mean, it's not just with spirituality, but any kind of personal growth, we really don't know what we don't know.
Exactly. And as Socrates said, the wise man knows he knows nothing. You know, I went through, I think I told you earlier, I went through 30 years of my life studying every major religion, spiritual teaching, studying with dozens and dozens of gurus, and my mind started thinking it knew something. But I'm here to tell you what I've realized is all that information that I collected doesn't mean anything, ultimately. It's not about information. It's not about knowing it or understanding it. It's not an intellectual process. There's a place you go, it's so far beyond the mind that sometimes what you think you know is actually what's getting in the way of transcending your knowing or the knower. And so there's a beautiful place, and again, that's where a teacher comes in handy, because before I had my guru, I was so full of myself, I thought I knew all this stuff, and I already know how to meditate, and I've been teaching meditation for so many years, and I know. And thank God my guru helped me move me out of myself until I could find what he found. And now we want to share it with everyone, because there is an awakening occurring around the world. Look at all the yoga centers opening up in cities all over the world. Look at all the millions of people meditating. There's a massive movement. And now we are at the front of this bell curve of humanity. We're the ones creating the critical mass that is shifting the collective consciousness of humanity so we can all create the world we want to live in, the destiny of humanity, the fulfillment of prophecy, creating an enlightened world. It's beginning right here, right now.
Mm. Beautiful. Well, just one more question before we wrap up the show, Stephen. You mentioned a teacher and a guru, and yet you do need to be careful whose advice you take.
Yes, so I agree, especially with gurus.
Yeah, so how do you find a guru you can trust?
Well, I would use two rules of thumb. One is always trust your heart. I think you need to learn, and that's part of what we're learning. I went to study with gurus that I didn't think were real gurus in the end, but maybe there was something there I learned anyway. You know, who am I to say they weren't a real guru? If I learned something about myself, maybe it was not to trust another guru. But on the other hand, what I've noticed about the people I would consider the most evolved is that they're really helping you find a truth within yourself. They're not about follow me, I'm the answer. Like I might say to you, let me help you, let me show you what I've found. But what I'm trying to show you is something that's within yourself. I don't want you don't need to bow to me. My guru didn't need me to bow to him. Of course, in India, everybody bows. But you know, it's not about them. I think lower gurus tend to make it about them and worshiping them, where when you get to the higher levels and the higher teachings, it's not about the personality or the person. There's something that's beyond that. But without a teacher, I can't imagine how anybody would get to this level of awareness. And if you look at the Vedas, if you look at the traditions of the world, the yogis all had a guru to show them. And so it's only when I opened up to working with a teacher that I found what I found.
Thank you, Stephen. Well, it is time to wrap up the show. DJ Chris Horrific is back there. I know you want to shout out Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste, brother.
He loves that. So you are Stephen Sadler, and your website is selfawareness.com. You're going to be in Vancouver June 7th, 8th, and 9th, doing lots of different things, meditation, retreat, initiation, as well as talking about Ayurveda.
Yep.
On Sunday. All right. And again, the website is selfawareness.com. And you have about a minute to say how much you love everyone and what you want everyone to take home after this.
May the whole world live in happiness and peace.
Thank you so
That's
much for
vision.
Your time. Pardon?
That's the vision. A world living in peace.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for your time, Stephen. It has been such a pleasure, and I look forward to meeting you in June.
I'm looking forward to it, too.
Thanks. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Again, that was Stephen Sadler, and he is an author, speaker, Kundalini master, Siddha yogi, and founder of the Self Awareness Institute, and you can find him at selfawareness.com. Lots of free information there and meditations and all of that. And I'm going to close the show with a song by one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, Surya Devi. She's lovely. This is her song, Only Love Is Real. And I'll be back next Monday with more Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and I want to send you lots and lots of love. I love you so much. Be well. Namaste.
Hello, this is Surya. Welcome to the age of Aquarius, or the age of something. A virtue I hope one day to know. I've been working on my masterpiece, the art of letting go, trying to release all this anger that I feel, 'cause my angels keep on telling me that only love is real. Only love is real. All the time that I saw the world around me like a nursery rhyme, but still my heart is aching for humanity's ordeal. But when I say a prayer, I hear these words that only lie. There is something like surrender to this raging inner fight, and I can see the lines of time spinning like a wheel, and in these moments I think I could know that only love is real. Only love is real. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
you to Mozart for providing the structure from the back of a cannon. God bless everyone. Be good.
I will say B, Peru. I'll do it.
And that's your final answer?
Yes.
You could buy a new car. You just want
$33,055.78.
To everyone who donated to this year's fund drive, CITR would like to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone who helped us meet and exceed our goal of $30,000. Your generous donations help us support local artists, businesses, and marginalized voices in the community.
And special thanks to our major sponsors of the Fund Drive Finale Silent Auction, The Cobalt at thecobalt.ca, Travel Cuts UBC at travelcuts.com, and Chad Woodley at the Sanitary Electric Company at tattoosbychad.com. Next, music from Tokyo is back. After sold-out shows at the Biltmore Cabaret and the Waldorf, Stephen Tanaka is bringing the best Japanese bands back to Vancouver for the fifth time. This time, the event will be on Wednesday, May 22nd at the Rickshaw Theater, and features Kainoku Teikoku, China, Hara from Hell, and Mouse on the Keys. Advance tickets are only $10 and are available at Red Cat, Zulu, Neptune, and High Life Records, or online at ticketweb.ca.
Calgary, commonly mispronounced as Calgary, situated on the Bow River, approximately 81 kilometers east of the Front Ranges of the Canadian Rockies.
Hey, Dad, get out of here!
Okay, just give me a second.
If you want to get down and dirty and rock the f*** out, come to the Sled Island Music and Arts Festival June 19th to 22nd.
Sounds like a good time.
Dad!
Sorry.
They got bands that were big before you ever f***ing born.
Oh, really?
The Jesus!
Oh, he'll be there?
And Mary Chain.
Oh.
Explosions in the Sky.
Where?
Swans, Divine Fits, Joel Plaskett, Emergency, Ice Age, Mac DeMarco, and over 250 bands, plus film, art, and comedy, and 30-plus venues. Festival passes on sale at SledIsland.com.
Ooh, I may have to visit this SledIsland.com.
Dad, if you don't leave, I'm gonna clock you right in the face!
You're gonna clock me? Let's fight.
The Sled Island Music and Arts Festival, bringing families together since whenever it started.
Open Gangnam Style.
What the hell did I just hear? Go to Sled Island, I guess that's what they're saying. You're listening to 101.9 CITR. This is the Parts Unknown Show.
Thank you.
lovely job from a artist that calls himself Flying Lotus. Putty Boy Strut. From his last album, Until the Quiet Comes, this gentleman is a... he comes from a long line of amazing musicians. I believe that John Coltrane was his uncle and a whole bunch of other... grandpa, maybe? I don't know. Watch the Nardwuar interview. It's quite amazing. The things that Nardwuar knows about you, you'd be freaking surprised. Flying Lotus with Putty Boy Strut. The reason why I'm playing it, a great song, very, very nice. Playing at the Vogue Theater this Thursday. Vogue Theater. I love seeing bands play there. The last time that I had seen something there, Mr. Jeff Mangum of the lovely Nutrimilk Hotel played a rousing set. Past performances included Mr. Bonnie Prince Billy and Pavement. It was way too bloody loud to be in the Vogue Theater in the 90s when Pavement was on the stage without earplugs. Good to know. I want to tell you that I have no real idea why we are celebrating Victoria Day on Monday. Why do the banks need to be closed? I don't even know who Queen Victoria was. Anyway, I'm happy for it. I still got to go to work. Do you? Why don't you relax with some not very relaxing sounds from Mr. Alex Yang Hongtai. Originally from Hong Kong? I'm not sure. He has been jumping around everywhere. He lived in Vancouver for about 7 minutes, resided in Montreal for a bit, and now the road is where he lives. He's got a new album out. He goes by Dirty Beaches. And he has two kinds of albums that are mushed together on one gigantic double album. One of the albums is titled Drifters. The other one is called Love is the Devil. And Dirty Beaches has a fantastic tune called I Dream in Neon. It's very dark, very unsettling. And I hope that you enjoy the sounds of Dirty Beaches on 101.9 CITR.
Shri Shri. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. I love you. Shri Shri. Fantasy. Oh, I love you. Oh, baby.
In its grimness, those three songs, there is an overall beauty to it. I think so. I don't know. I think that when I played a Dirty Beaches song that I liked, I played those two bands with it, like, a year ago. But I think it works. They kind of got the same programmed beat. And then some pretty odd, throaty kind of singing on top of it. Male throaty singing. That was the male throat of, I believe, Alan Vega. Was he the singer? I know there's another guy, Martin Rev. Suicide. Amazing. I remember purchasing that maybe 10 years ago and thinking, whoa. And still listening to it, I still think, whoa, Cherie, a very dark love song, some would say. That was Suicide. Before that, Portland's Mattress. His last release was called El Dorado in 2011, and I went way back, 5 years to be exact, to an album called Heavy Duty, which features the artwork, the cover has the artwork of Mr. Sean Maxey, who was a host on this Parts Unknown show many moons ago one time. Yeah, it was pretty crazy show. He I have never let him forget that he played Melt Banana with Orrick Hogan. Well, no, I haven't talked to him in a while. Hope he's well. Before that was the likes of Mattress, Dirty Beaches. I just played three songs. I was going to play a fourth one, but I thought maybe we should pick it up just a little bit. I'm not picking it up that much. It is Victoria Day. We need to relax. Relax with Weed. Weed is a four-piece from Vancouver, and apparently last week, frontman Will Anderson told me that I played the wrong track. The thing is, he gave me the wrong track to play, but the song that I played was amazing. This is just as amazing. Hopefully it will play for you on 101.9 CITR. This is Weed from their upcoming album on Couple Skate Records, out of, I'll say, the Pacific Northwest, a tune called Set Me Back.